Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton here once again with inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world, and here's what's ahead.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Coming up, we're going to hear how one church is helping communities set up their own crisis pregnancy center.
I'm John Graham, and we've heard about near-death experiences about heaven, but reporting from the other side is underground rock and roll musician Tim Amon on today's Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later, we'll talk about the sanctity of life, life at all ages, as we speak with a leader about how to serve senior adults in the latter stages of life.
I'm Myrna Brown. Do something different. That's the challenge from the band Sidewalk Prophets. It's also the name of their latest project.
Also today, a call to prayer for this new year for international missions on our Missionary Moment. That's this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. Many churches will recognize Sanctity of Life Sunday. Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke brings us a story of how churches can help their community with these issues.
This weekend, churches across this nation will be recognizing Sanctity of Life Sunday. It was almost 25 years ago that Sherwood Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia, opened a crisis pregnancy center called Alpha Pregnancy Center. Over the years, they have seen abortions in their county decline and people come to the Lord. They are now helping other communities set up their own crisis pregnancy center. David Smith is the executive director for Alpha Pregnancy Center, and he joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello, David.
Hello, Juliana.
Now, on average, how many women does your center see each year?
Close to 1,500 women.
Wow, wow. And educating these women about the life growing inside them has resulted in a decline of abortions in your community.
That is correct. In 2010 through 2012, we've seen in our area alone close to 75 or 80 abortions less in that three-year period.
Amen. And how has being there during a woman's unplanned pregnancy opened doors to share Jesus with them?
We track the number of salvations, and one of the things that we do is we ask their permission to be able to share the hope that's within us as far as what Christ is doing. And we've had a number of salvations every year. And one of the things that is very important is that we work hard at building the relationship with the mom and encouraging them. And as they learn about Christ and make decisions for Christ, then they will make the right choice about their baby.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the Lord is just blessing this ministry. And tell us a little bit about how Alpha Pregnancy Center goes about setting up centers in smaller surrounding counties.
What we do is we find a network of people who are interested in a community, meet with them, and the first thing we do is pray about what God might do in that community with that ministry. And anybody being trained from these other communities, they have to go through 6 to 8 weeks of on-the-job training, learn about the DNA of how we do ministry here at the Alpha Pregnancy Center. As they learn the process of teaching and walking patients through this, then they can themselves go out and do that in other communities. So it's a great model.
So you're taking these 25 years that you all have been doing a pregnancy center and taking and educating people about what works and what doesn't work.
That is correct. In other words, train people and then basically put them on the field.
And in these different communities where you're setting up satellites, where would these women go to receive care if you weren't there?
Well, basically, a number of them would not go anywhere until they're, 8 or 9 months pregnant. Mm. Or they would have to travel 45 minutes or so to get that medical help. The pregnancy centers that we've had in these communities have been really a connection point to get women when they're early on in their pregnancy to help get appropriate medical services and prenatal care for the mother and the unborn child.
And ensure that the baby and the mother are healthy.
That is correct. And as we are going down this process, this next year we want to bring medical services to all the satellites. And that means the ultrasound technology where they don't have to come to Albany or to Tifton or other places to get that ultrasound. They can get that right in their own community.
Wow. Wow. And like you said, that's your goal for this year is to put an ultrasound machine at every location. If someone is listening and wants to get involved to help accomplish this goal or get more information, how would they go about doing so?
The easiest would be to go to our website, alphapregnancycenter.net.
We've been speaking with David Smith, Executive Director for Alpha Pregnancy Center. David, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today and sharing how the Lord is using Alpha Pregnancy Center in your community and in others.
Thank you, Julianne. It was an honor to speak today.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Julianna Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When everyone is asking why, we answer with help, healing, and hope. We are Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. We answer. To help, visit BaptistRelief.org. A message from the North American Mission Board.
Thanks for spending some time each week with Life with Purpose Radio. Our Culture Connection segment goes in somewhat of a different direction today as we get the story of a new book called I Met God in Hell. Here's John Graham on Life with Purpose Radio.
Tim Amon was a 35-year-old touring rock and roll musician who overdosed on heroin and crack cocaine. And that's when he met God in hell. That's the title of his book that tells the tale. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
It's great to have you. Now, I got to tell you, that's a pretty wild title. Can you tell us the details?
Well, did $500 a day drugs my whole life ever since I was like 13, 14 years old, you know, which is just outrageous. I mean, shooting every hour of my life for all those decades. And and that's one of the things I was into. And plus everything else of that lifestyle, the sex and, you know, material possessions was, you know, that's all I thought about, you know, the houses and the cars and the and women and, you know,
right,
all that. I never believed in God, heaven, hell, anything. I OD'd one night and I ended up in hell. And I saw horrific things there, as described in the book. The heaven hell experiences. I saw a lot of my friends there from the rock and roll industry who I partied and played with, and lots of people. And then after the realization of being there for a while, then that's when I met Jesus face to face, and he came and saved me. He chases after us our whole lives, and then even some after that, so he doesn't want any one of us to get lost and end up in that horrible place.
Well, now, you know, the Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, eternal darkness. What kind of things made those words come to life for you?
It's like a rock concert, basically. The amplification of the horror was like 1,000 times more than you could handle. In the horror, the presence, the darkness, I mean, it just penetrated your whole being. And there are fires there and people burning. It's just horrific. It's something I really didn't want to talk about, that much, but, my wife, penned it in. It took her 3 years to get to capture everything and the theology behind it, and then the ending of the book, the last two thirds of it, was about this relationship that God just started with me. I mean, he just chased me down and started this relationship, because I knew nothing about relationships. I mean, I knew nothing. And he just showed me who he was, and that's what I'm really eternally grateful for. And I think he gave me the visions of heaven and hell just to so I could tell the world that these two places actually exist, whether you believe or not.
So how did this experience change your music career?
So I did ministry in Hollywood when I got here, and I only had $500 in my pocket. And he, as soon as I stepped into Hollywood, he said, I'll never leave you homeless here. So I ended up doing ministry on the streets here by myself, and he's just pouring his love. And then he puts us in the middle of Capitol Records, we've been recording a capital for the last 3 years and spreading his love in the middle of the entertainment industry. So it's just incredible what he's doing.
You talk a little bit in your book about your mom and how she prayed for you all her years. So I guess that message rings real true with you.
Which is, I think, one of the reasons why God came and saved me out of hell, where there's a lot of better people that I knew that were there. I mean, and I think that's the prayers of a praying loved ones.
Wow.
Is the answer that got intertwined in the whole story.
Well, Tim, it sounds like a fascinating story, and we're so grateful you shared it. Where can folks get a copy of the book?
I Met God in Hell, book.com, or Tim Amann Productions, EHMANN, and that's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, christianbook.com.
All right. The name is I Met God in Hell by Tim Amann, and a fascinating story and an inspiration to just about anybody. God can reach you wherever you are. So thanks for being with us. Until next time, this is John Graham bringing you the Culture Connection.
Every week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives of purpose and caring Christians around the world. And we hope our stories encourage you to live your life with purpose. And right now would be a great time to take just a moment, if you can, and connect with us here at Life with Purpose Radio. Our email address is always available for you, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And we look forward to reading your comments, questions about the program, and story suggestions that you have for us. Our online community is available too, facebook.com/LWP Radio, or follow us on Twitter @LWP Radio. Hey, our free book offer continues with The Coffee Shop That Changed a Church from best-selling author Steve Parr. And here's how you get it. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. That address again is lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. It's our way of saying thank you for being a listener to Life with Purpose Radio. Hey, let's get back to our stories now. Myrna?
Thanks, Rod. Do something different for 30 days. That's the challenge from the band Sidewalk Prophets. It's also the name of their latest project. Find out why people are responding to both.
Thank you, Myrna. Also on the way is a call to prayer for international missions as we go through the new year of 2016. That's on our missionary moment. But first, Ron Lawson has the story of Sanctity of Life for Seniors.
Thanks, Rod. Christians are concerned with life, particularly the life of unborn children. But respecting life at all ages is important as well. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a leader who serves senior adults in the latter stages of life. Let's listen.
I'm so pleased to be talking today with Della Sharpton, who is President and Chief Executive Officer of Baptist Village Retirement Communities here in Georgia. The Baptist Village Ministry serves hundreds of senior adults in 3 locations across the state. Under Della Sharpton's very capable leadership, we've seen this ministry grow in recent years. Dellis, thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White. It's a pleasure to be with you and represent Baptist Village.
Many of our listeners may not know about Baptist Village, Dellis, and the ministries that are offered there. Can you tell us some of the background of Baptist Village and how God led you into leadership at this ministry?
The Georgia Baptist Convention in 1953 appointed a committee to study the needs and even the possibility of a ministry to older adults. In 1954, they approved the concept, and the primary focus was to center on housing for senior adults, and Waycross was selected. In 1958, the first residents came to Waycross, and now 57 years later, thousands of residents have seen Baptist Village as their home, and the campus in Waycross has continued to grow with a full continuum of care, independent living, and personal care, along with a 254-bed skilled nursing center. And now we have personal care homes both in Lake Park and in Macon, Georgia as well. I came to the village as vice president for advancement. Then some 5 years later, the board of trustees asked me to serve as chief executive officer and president, and have been in that role now for 17 years. And
amazing.
It's a joy to serve these older seniors who are still very much involved in the living of life every day.
Absolutely. And you've done a tremendous job, Dallas. I've been very proud of you and thankful for you. I heard somebody the other day commenting on getting older, and they said getting older is not for sissies. Well, the boomer generation is beginning to retire, and large numbers of senior adults are in our society. Social Security, Medicare is under pressure, may change in the future, and yet people are living longer than ever before. Please share your perspectives on the state of affairs for senior adults in our society today.
The first thing I think we have to face is the fact that the United States, as we know it, is going gray.
Mm-hmm.
And you really cannot define age by birth and date any longer. Age 50 now, AARP says you're qualified for all their services. And 65, the government says that Social Security and Medicare can be yours. And so it's really a wide spectrum of mm-hmm. senior adults these days. The young old are 65 to 74, the middle old 75 to 84, and the old old, as we refer to them, are 85 to 99, and the elite old over 100. We have five residents in our skilled nursing facility in Waycross who are over 100.
Wow.
One of which is 109.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
And it's amazing we are living longer. 80% of Americans one day will certainly live past 65. And the oldest growing group is the 85 to 99 age group. So our society is an aging society, and we're going to have to deal with those issues, and that's not been our norm. We highlight the young. Our commercials reflect youth, and yet at the same time, we are aging as a country more than ever before, because now 53% of our population is 65 and older. The baby boomers, those born between 46 and 64, are by 2029 be a total of 78 million individuals, and that has a huge impact on our markets and our culture. So it is a graying society that we live in today.
Well, indeed it is, and we just want to express today our appreciation for you, because I know your heart and soul is in ministry to seniors, and we're so grateful. We talk about the sanctity of human life, and we believe that involves the cradle to the grave. Every age group needs to be treasured, and I want to thank you for what you're doing to minister to the seniors in our culture. Dallas, what can our churches do to minister to seniors in their congregations?
Well, I think the successful churches in their ministry to senior adults are very high in their tolerance for diversity, because seniors have different backgrounds, different situations in life. Some are in good health, some are not. To place emphasis on worship and inspiration, they need to be action-oriented. Boomers especially are into volunteering. They were the first ones to go into the Peace Corps. To give them personal support and reassurance, social contacts, be innovative. Put an emphasis on relationships with seniors. Let them know that they are cared for and loved. I think one watch verse is out of Psalm 71, verse 9, where it talks about the honoring and respecting of old age. So I think churches have a great opportunity, because there's so many seniors coming to our churches, and we need to be there to reach them.
Thank you, Dallas. That's a great word of counsel for our churches. I've been talking today with Dallas Sharpton, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Baptist Village Retirement Communities, located in Waycross, Georgia, but they have other locations across the state. Dallas, you're doing a great work, and we want to thank you for it. May God bless you in your good ministry.
Thank you, Dr. White.
For more information on Georgia Baptist Village, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
The Christian group Sidewalk Prophets may be on your radar, or perhaps not. Either way, Myrna Brown has something different musically and a bit of history of how the band came together. Now on Life with Purpose Radio.
If I rise, let me rise on you. Not on all of my successes, my esteem or my pursuits. If I lose, let me lose my life. 'Cause if I belong to Jesus, the flesh is crucified. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
It's one of the songs from Sidewalk Prophet's latest project, Something Different. And with us on Life with Purpose Radio is David Fry. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. When I first heard that song, To Live is Christ, the hair on my arms and legs really stood up, because it's straight up scripture, Philippians 1:21. Do you think that's the reason for the response to that song?
It's such a beautiful part of our gospel, of what we as Christians believe, that to live is Christ, to die is gain. And what Paul meant by that will be talked about, has been talked about since he wrote it down. And so this was just our attempt to go into a room and unpack what that meant to our hearts, and for us to die to self, that life isn't easy, but to go and win souls for Christ is what we've been called to do, and that we will stand there right next to Christ and just bask in his presence. But until that day comes, to live is to take up your cross, to take up the command that he said to go and love others and make disciples of the earth. And so that's not easy stuff to do, but I loved trying to just talk about that amongst friends and then write down on paper what we thought that meant, and to do it in a way that brought praise to Jesus.
Definitely. I mean, has it become your anthem?
Yeah, for us, it is an anthem. It is what we try to live out every day, and often we fail. But our God, you know, forgives, forgets, he loves us, and he reminds us that we will be home someday. But right now, for us, is to go out and to live as close to Christ as we can.
We met half a dozen times. I know your name, I know you don't know mine. But I won't hold that against you.
From the project, Something Different, one of my favorites is Save My Life. Talk about that song.
Before I was in the band, I worked as a waiter. The first verse of the song is all about that, being a waiter and trying to put a smile on and realizing that God can find you there and bless you. And then the second verse, yeah, being about pastors. I've had so many pastor friends. You know, you put your pastor on a pedestal, and they should live to a higher standard, but there's so many times when they're human too, and they need prayer just as much as anyone else. And I think we forget that sometimes. We forget to pray to those that are leading us. And so I think with Save My Life, it was just a great reminder that everyone around us has a story, and that everyone around us needs prayer, and that at any moment, any one of us could be used by God to refresh their lives or even save their lives through his word. And I think that that's an important thing to remember, that at any point, God could use you to, when you go out of your way, when you step out in faith especially, to change someone's life.
Who makes up Sidewalk Prophet?
Ben McDonald and I started the band 14 years ago in Indiana in our dorm room at college. And from there, we moved to Nashville, Tennessee, put an ad on Craigslist because we needed band members. And we found our bass player, Cal Jocelyn, and our drummer, Justin Nay, through a Craigslist ad that basically said, who wants to be poor and worship Jesus? And they responded to our ad. And then lastly, you know, we've had a few lead guitarists over the years, and we had one step down a couple years ago to spend more time with his family, an incredible guy named Sean. But through that, we actually had a YouTube tryout. And out of 100 tryouts, we've selected my good buddy Dan McCall. He's from California. He flew in from California, 21 years old. He's real young, but he's an incredible player, and he loves the Lord. And so that's the band. We got Cal, Justin, Dan, Ben, and myself, Dave. Mm-hmm. And we composed Sidewalk Prophets.
What is a Sidewalk Prophet?
I put my finger down in the Bible at one point, and I was like, whatever it lands on is going to be our name. And it landed on Isaac begat Jacob. And I was like, that's a terrible band. And so I closed the Bible, and we started to really think about it. We came up with prophet first. The prophet part was from my buddy Ben, and his word of the day in his dictionary was prophet. And it said, someone that tells the truth about life. And I love that simple definition of a prophet. And so we knew we loved that. We wanted to be men that were out there telling the truth about Jesus. And then Sidewalk actually came from a Jars of Clay song. They're an incredible band. And their song Art and Me says, images on the sidewalk speak of dreams descent. And I just pictured this image that God wanted this man to see. And he was so worried, just like we talked about before, he was so worried about life that he was thinking about himself and didn't stop to look at what God had already planned for him and wanted to show him. And so he walked right by that image. And it was a great reminder that we need to be men that are listening to God at all times and speaking the truth about life. And to me, that's what a Sidewalk Prophet is.
This new project, Something Different. It has been a pleasure, David Fry.
Thank you, Myrna. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure over here, too.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
All the reasons we change, the reasons I doubt, and why do loved ones have to die?
Today's missionary moment is a call to prayer for international missions for the new year here on Life with Purpose Radio.
Allahu Akbar.
Indonesians are called to their knees 5 times a day.
Allahu Akbar.
Adhering to their various religions, they kneel before their various gods. Thousands kneel in the villages, tens of thousands in the cities, and millions kneel across the nation. How can this nation be reached when it is so tightly bound by religions that cannot save? We must pray. Because the sight of any nation with multitudes of people bowing to unsaving gods should bring God's people to their knees weeping. God says whoever continuously goes out weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, will return bringing the harvest with him. And for those who cannot sow, Ezekiel says God is looking for men who will pray for the nations. May we not be left standing while so many are kneeling.
For more information about international and North American missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com. That's lifewithpurposeradio.com. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope you've been inspired to live life with purpose as you heard about Alpha Pregnancy Center, the faith story of Tim Amon, Baptist Village, Sidewalk Prophets, and a call to prayer for international missions. See you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose, and be sure to check out lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.